Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is writer-director Karina Faith, whose new supernatural horror film, The Power, will be out on September 21st through RLJE and Shudder. And this is a very atmospheric period piece that the slow build of the creepy is nerve-wracking, and I think it was meant to be that way. So thank you for that, Karina.
pleasure. Yeah, well, I'm glad you identified that, because that is exactly what it's meant to be. And I personally love slow build tense stories, so that's what I was aiming for, something I would like to watch.
The overview, the quick high-level description of this movie says it's set in 1974 in London during a period of time where, in order to conserve something, electrical blackouts, they just black out everything every night. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense for like World War II, but did I miss something? How?
No, that really happened.
Really?
Yeah. It was a big battle between the unions, which were very strong at the time in the UK, and the government trying to crush protests and to work with the amount of power that they had. The government just said, okay, well, we won't cave in to pressure. We will just shut things down and work with what we have.
Interesting. So civil unrest and haunted hospitals. Cool.
Yeah. I think from talking to people who were old enough to remember at the time, it was a disturbing and strange time. And actually, those blackouts really rolled on for quite a long time. In fits and starts, and it was pretty bleak, I think.
Wow. Well, the knowing that those blackouts were really a thing, I think, adds another level to this movie. The main character Val has she's dealing with a few things, and it's her first day as a trainee nurse in this oppressive feeling hospital, and as we go through her indoctrination into the environment she's putting herself into, she gets sort of singled out to, okay, you're going to stay here overnight during the blackout. And her reaction to being left alone in the dark is profound, and the entity she encounters, I don't want to spoil too much for the listeners, but the entity she encounters has a similar history to her own, and that makes everything that happens that night so much more terrifying and infuriating on several levels. I have to ask, was this story based on any one particular incident in history in London, or maybe a couple of conglomerated together? Because you have oppressive hospitals, wounded children who grew up in state-sponsored care, orphanages, or worse, and just ignoring people who are below a certain perceived level of social status because, according to the people above them, they just don't matter. And I'm like, oh, my God.
I mean, well, the class system is profound in the UK and was always extremely influential. I was interested in talking about institutions in general and the kind of toxic power dynamics that they can create. And there was a bunch of stories emerging at the time that I was starting to write this around big cover-ups of ongoing abuse in a whole range of institutions. And that's why I've tried to, it's set in a hospital, but it kind of draws on other institutional settings as well, because I'm not just talking about hospitals, it's really more those who have a lot of power and those who have none, and that dynamic.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of unspoken territory in this film that sort of makes itself known, and I think that adds to the level of fear and desperation we see in several of our main characters. But I will not spoil any of that, because when you get to a certain point in the film, you've stopped trying to figure out what the pieces are and then just watch them come together. And it's such a shift. And you're like, oh, wow.
Well, I'm glad you experienced it in that way. I mean, I don't know how much I can say without spoiling it, really, but I mean, certainly in terms of the supernatural entity and the kind of monstrous element of her, of this ghost, I did want to create a turning point moment in terms of our understanding of what she is and who, and her motivations.
So you wrote and directed this. Did you write it intending to direct it, or did that just happen later?
No, I always was going to be directing it. It was written very much as my first vehicle to direct, and I was backed in that way from the beginning.
What was the impetus to write the story you wanted to get your feet wet directing?
I felt like writing in the ghost story genre would probably be, it's a zone that I love watching and thought I'd be fun to work in, but would also be a good showcase, really, in terms of it's such a creative mode, it's such a creative world, horror in general. It's quite, it's hugely open visually and story-wise, and it goes to some quite extreme places, so it gives you a real opportunity to test yourself, really, and flex your muscles and learn a huge amount, because it's technically challenging, obviously.
How long did it take to actually write it, and then how long did it take once production began to actually shoot it?
It took about 4 years to write.
Wow.
That was kind of like having a baby in between and juggling it with other jobs. So it wasn't like solid sitting down at my desk for 4 years, but the process took that long in between everything else. And then the shoot was 6 weeks, so not long in comparison. And then we had some pickups as well.
So once you got into production, did you see anything or come across anything in what you had originally written that you wanted to enhance or change before actually shooting it?
Not so much before, but I mean, there was a lot evolving through the pre-production, but during the shoot, there was a couple of interesting things, because as soon as other people were involved, they were obviously bringing all their own thoughts and layers to it. And the idea of the mural that kind of tells the story, mm-hmm. and is hinting at it throughout from the children's ward, that evolved during the shoot, and was actually, we were like already halfway through shooting before that was created. And also just some of the moments that we see the ghost and how she is involved in the last third of the story. That all came about through the shooting and us starting to think more about her little new journey, as it were.
Now, talk a little bit about the effects, the way you chose to shoot some of the effects, because the way the movie was shot and the fact that it was shot at night in a dark, you know, the story is told in the dark during a blackout. Darkness itself, dark spaces seem to be themselves an effect.
Yeah, I mean, I very much wanted the hospital to be a massive character and for there to be enough space in the frame for us to just experience the dark with Val and to bring to it our own psychology as well. And to be checking that frame and wondering what's in it, where cross and there isn't anything, but there could be. And in terms of the effects, I wanted to do everything in camera, which we did, because I just wanted it to be as present and on the screen as it could be, and to create the opportunity to actually really sense the genuine atmosphere of the place where we shot, which was quite an incredible place. So that was pretty cool.
Now, the location that you shot all this, was this an actual institution or a former institution, or was a lot of this set?
No, it was all shot in, apart from the staircases, which were in a different building, it was all shot in an ex-psychiatric hospital called Goodnayes, which is actually in East London. And we built our wards and our sets into real spaces within that hospital, which is a decommissioned hospital now, but still has, it still feels like a real institution, and which is amazing because we would never have been able to create that on our budget. So the building gave us a huge amount.
Yeah, because the shape of some of the hallways and just It had the weight of age and its own ghosts.
Oh my goodness, it really did. And it was a very strange and atmospheric place to work. And I think for Rose, that was a whole nother level for her to draw on, really, that she was just in a place that she found genuinely quite disturbing and sad, and it kind of has a tragedy to it, the whole place, but it's quite a powerful place as well, so it was a pretty phenomenal place to work.
Well, I'm happy you found such a location that was able to enhance the story you were telling.
Yeah, we were very lucky.
So what else are you looking forward to making? Are you planning another horror story, another ghost story?
I am just about to start writing another horror, which is not a ghost story, but it draws on kind of the demonic subgenre, I'd say. Haunted houses and demons, but obviously with my own take on it and my own territory.
Excellent. Is there any place online people can keep track of your next work in progress?
I am on Twitter, just Corinna Faith.
Excellent.
And I'm not a very social media orientated person because I'm just living in my story world most of the time, to be perfectly honest. But I do attempt to get on there and say things and share what I'm doing.
And you're too busy writing and making a really creepy horror movie. So, yeah, you've got stuff to do.
Yeah, I have to be careful not to get distracted by those things.
Well, Corinna, thank you for your time today. The movie The Power will be out from RLJE and Shudder September 21st, DVD and digital. It takes a minute to find its feet, but once it does, you really can't look away, even though you might want to. So again, thank you so much for your time today.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Thank you. Escape Pod is your destination for the best in modern short science fiction. Our intrepid crew of editors and hosts will bring you fun, thought-provoking in-flight entertainment every week as the pod careens around the multiverse. In the mood for a classic? We've got Anson Mount, also known as Captain Christopher Pike, reading Theodore Sturgeon. Want something a little more up-to-date? Jennifer R. Donahue's Surveillance Fatigue has you covered in every sense. From classic space opera to intimate character drama, from heroic alien pets waiting for their families to herds of Einsteins and the benevolent conspiracy they're hatching, Escape Pod has it all. Take a ride with us at escapepod.org and buckle up, because it's story time.
Hi guys, this is Tom Allison, and I play Pree on Killjoys, and you're listening to A Slice of Sci-Fi.
And once again, the movie is The Power. You should be able to find it on DVD and, I think, no, VOD, digital, HD, and DVD on September 21st. So should already be available. I'm not sure if it is still on Shudder. I was under the impression it would be. And I probably should have checked that first. Anyway, this movie is really, it has a weight that carries its atmosphere. London in 1974, I had no idea that these blackouts were a thing. And that just makes everything else that happens at the beginning of this movie that much more creepy. But how about you? Are you a fan of near past horror stories? Let me know. Send me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. Come on by the website. Leave a comment in the post for this episode, or hit me up on Twitter @sliceofscifi. Start a conversation. Either way, I love talking about movies. I love talking about television. And on Twitter, you'll catch me talking about a few other things like comics and soccer and baseball and occasionally music. Occasionally. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. Let other people know you are enjoying the show and help signal boost to your friends, to your followers. All of it helps raise our profile here, which in turn helps us provide you with more and more amazing content. Also, if you're a member of Podchaser, you can leave a review or rating over there as well. I'd like to thank everyone who is helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the shows and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. That includes Writers After Dark, Babylon Podcast, Charlie Jade. All of it is kept online by your pledges and donations, and for that I am truly grateful. If you'd like to add your support, you can use patreon.com/sliceofscifi. Pick a tier, any tier, and you will be eligible for a perk. Every month, I pick a winning email out of the hat, and that person gets to choose from a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, or a book. All of the physical review materials I get here, I can't keep all of it because I don't have the space. I really do not have the space for it. So all of you, listeners, fans, and friends, you guys get first dibs at the good stuff. So this is my way of showing my gratitude for your support all these years. You can also, you should be able to leave a donation through Ko-fi. It's ko-fi.com/sliceofsci-fi. And, of course, you can always use the PayPal link, paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And again, thank you all for your support. Can you believe we're getting that much closer to episode 1,000? 1,000 episodes of Slice of Sci-Fi. It's kind of amazing when you think about it. 16 years of science fiction, fantasy, horror, comics, and long, long, long time ago, games. A lot of geek history in those 1,000 episodes. And again, thank you all for your support through all of those episodes, through all of the incarnations this show has gone through over time. Thanks for sticking with it and making me feel like making the show for you means something. But that'll do it for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.